Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 18, God's judgment on Tyre's proud, ruthless commercialism and its correction. Interesting. Isaiah 23, 1 to 18 predicted God's judgment on Tyre due to the city's proud and ruthless commercialism. However, that message ends with an instructive twist, and it offers a lesson of insight on the upright view of handling material wealth. I'd like to read the passage itself, and then we'll look at it. Isaiah 23, 1 to 18. The burden of Tyre. Howl, you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in. From the land of Chittim, which is on Crete, it is revealed to them. Be still, you inhabitants of the island, you who the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And by great waters, the seed of Shihor, actually, the harvest of the Nile River, is her revenue, and she is the market of the nations. Be thou ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so they shall be surely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass you over to Tarshish, howl, you inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who has taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers and the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts has purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through your land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord has given commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, Thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shall you have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not, till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. Howl, you ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of a king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, many songs, that you may be remembered. It shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. And she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It will not be treasured or laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that sit, actually, before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. Okay, once again, sometimes the King's English is a little thick, but it's a wonderful passage when we get into discerning what's going on. Isaiah 23, 1 to 14 predicts God's judgment on the city of Tyre for its proud, ruthless commercialism. For those of you who know where Tyre is off of the coast of actually just north of Israel on the Mediterranean Sea. Originally, it was an island out there just off the coast, and there a causeway was built to that island from the shore. And because it was an island, kings and empires that would come through the area couldn't really defeat it because it was out there and you couldn't defeat it that well from the sea. They were a sea power. They knew how to deal with that. Until eventually Alexander the Great trashed the city on the land, and he dumped the debris of the city out in the ocean, out to the island to build a causeway. And then he wrecked Tyre and leveled it. And now it's a place for the spreading of nets and fulfillment of scripture. But Tyre was, at one time, it was kind of like the New York City of the ancient world. Everything that traded went through there. It was a place of commerce. And there was a tremendous markup. If you go down to New York City today, you better hope that you don't have an alternator go out on you, because to get a new one, it's $500. That's what Mike Twillinger found out. They just jacked the price up. So you don't want to have car problems in New York. They just jacked the price up. That's what they did in Tyre. So this prediction deals with this city at that time. God's prophet called for the ships of Tarshish, that's probably located on Spain, to wail as news from Cyprus that the port of Tyre and the coast of Canaan, to which they were headed, had been laid waste by Assyria, cutting off their business venture there. The picture is these ships had come from Spain. They'd come as far as Crete, and they were in the port there. And while they were in the port there, there were ships that had just come from the Mediterranean coastline of Canaan, and they came, and they told the ships, don't go there. You don't have a port. Okay, it's been laid waste. And, of course, these ship owners have all this cargo in there, and they have nowhere to take it. And they've already invested lots of money in order to get this cargo. So what are they going to do with their wares? So it's a financial hardship on these men as well. And that's why they're told to wail. The fall of Tyre will thus have devastating effects on the whole sea trade in the Mediterranean. Now, Isaiah also called for other places that have been commercially enriched in trading with Tyre to grieve. Places like Sidon on the coast near Tyre and Shihor, the region of Egypt that contributed grain to the trade. Places that had given Tyre quick wealth, not by her own toils, as usually occurred in other lands where people tilled their ground, but by the greedy markup of sea trade goods. Now, how do we know this is what he's talking about? In verses 4 and 5, there's a testimony of the sea that is personified as a woman who has neither been in labor nor given birth nor reared sons or daughters. What's that picture about? That's a picture of the shame of Tyre and Sidon in gaining riches quickly and easily by the unjust, greedy, ruthless, huge markup in price of items that were traded by the sea. See, when you had items coming by the sea, they came from a long ways away, sometimes probably significantly faster or in more volume they could get by land. So there was a tremendous demand for these items that were coming to the central place of Tyre. You have grain from Egypt, you've got things coming from Tarshish and Spain, they're all meeting here. So since there was such a demand, they could, you know, supply and demand, they could up the price, and they upped the price exorbitantly. And so what happened is the people in Tyre just gave up farming because, you know, why farm? You can just sit out here and with trade, you can make tons and tons of money. So they were making money not by laboring like other people, like toiling the soil. They were making money just hand over fist by jacking up the price. And from God's perspective, raising the price exorbitantly was like stealing. And that's what it is today, you know. And God despises it. This is why in the millennial kingdom, every man's going to dwell under his own vine and his own fig tree. Everybody's going to be working. They're going to be working their farms and tilling their soil. They're not going to be making money by raising prices exorbitantly with some sort of commercial trade. Very interesting. Well, the wailing to occur would be caused by Israel's Lord Almighty, for he had planned that it occur to judge those who had been made proud through the riches of such false, ruthless commercialism. That's verses 6 to 9. So Israel's God would punish Tarshish as well as the other nations involved in this vile trade to make them tremble with the loss of proud revelry in Tyre and Sidon, the hub of this entire sin. So God is going to be punishing all these and other nations as well. Why? Because they were party to this. They were part of the markup. They wouldn't make quite as much as Tyre, the merchants there at Tyre, but they were making a lot by shipping this stuff there. So it was, the whole thing was like a Mediterranean-wide Ponzi scheme, just jacking up the prices. Well, in fact, the nations would find no rest from Tyre's fall, for Cyrus would hurt like Tyre and Sidon that would be commercial wastelands following first Assyrian and then Babylonian invasions. See, God used the Assyrians to come down and to crush Tyre, the city that was of Tyre that was located on the land, not out in on the island. And then later God used Babylon to come in and do the same thing. There were several waves of attacks on the city of Tyre. And God was punishing them because of their pride. Also their pride and their idolatry. They had made commercialism an idol, much like the world today. The world today actually worships the almighty dollar. It's amazing, every now and then I'll get on, I do invest in market and so forth, but they have photographs of men who are on the floor exchange of the market. And when it's an up day, they're grinning from ear to ear. When it's a down day, these guys look like their whole lives have been lost. They're just like this. And so their whole attitude is affected by whether or not the market is going up or down. And it's ridiculous because the market constantly goes up and down. But it must be a very, very difficult job for them to live that way. But there are people that their whole welfare depends upon what happens to the market. And our happiness should not be dependent upon that. But anyway, so the ships of Tarshish are thus called upon to wail because their fortress of commercial welfare and the trade with Tyre will have been destroyed by divine judgment. That's what verse 14 is about. The grieving of the merchants in Revelation 18, 15 to 20 over the fall of Babylon the Great, the final world religio-commercial ecumenism, is based on the grieving in this chapter over the fall of a similar evil commercialism form of idolatry. It's interesting that when in Revelation talks about the men in the ships stood afar off and wailed and wept, they were looking back. John was looking back to this chapter in Isaiah 23 and was looking back to what had happened at Tyre. See, the commercialism that occurred in Tyre is something that's never gone away. It's just gone different places. And it's gone worldwide right now. But eventually God is going to destroy Babylon the Great with its worldwide influence, as it will then eventually be centered in the city of Rome. So, for the 70 years from the conquest of Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon's fall, Tyre would be a weak and a poor nation. And she would not then express proud revelry and commercial wealth gained by ruthlessly lucrative sea trade. But after Babylon's fall, that's after that 70 years, and having lost her independence, Tyre would have to pander to the lusts and the desires of her conquerors like a woman of the streets, pictured in Isaiah 23, 15, and 16 as a harlot, taking a harp and singing as she goes through the streets to attract her lovers, merchants in this case for her trade in merchandise, the harlotry of commercial idolatry. Once again, the final Babylon the Great, the harlot of Revelation 17, picks up this theme of spiritual harlotry and the false lust for the wealth over the loving of the Lord. So Isaiah 23, remember, Isaiah 23 plays a very important part in setting the tone for Isaiah chapter, and for Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 18. You can't understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament. Like I said, Tyre will have long been destroyed by the time you get to the Revelation 17 and 18 chapters, but the commercialism of Tyre has never gone away. It's always been around. It still is around today. And there is so much injustice that's wrapped up in it, so many abuses, so many people who are taken advantage of. It's something God despises. And he's going to raise up the Antichrist to destroy that commercial system someday. It's going to be interesting. And it's a religio-commercial system, actually. Well, when Tyre eventually returned to her former trade, God would deal with Tyre once again, but this time make her profits and earnings be set apart for the Lord's temple versus her own greedy interests. Now, you'll notice in verse 18, about halfway through, it says, for her merchandise, that's the merchandise of Tyre, shall be for them that dwell, literally for them that sit in the face of the Lord or before the Lord. What is that all about? The word dwell, yeshab, in Hebrew, literally means those who sit, and in this case, those who sit before the Lord. This refers to the priests and the Levites who figuratively sat as disciples before the Lord their master, and who also literally sat serving him in the temple chambers as true and devoted servants of the Lord. I liken that to my own situation here. I spend a lot of time sitting in my job because I'm sitting studying. But as I'm sitting studying, I'm learning. So I'm sitting figuratively before the Lord, but also in learning and getting information so that I can give it as a teacher to other people. So I'm also serving the Lord. And that's the picture. That's basically what the priests were doing in the temple. They spent a lot of time studying, reading the word, getting it ready, communicating. And therefore, they, when the people came to the temple, they were experts in the law. They could help. They could guide. They could give counsel to people and so forth. And these were men who were before the Lord, before the face of the Lord. It's like the Lord's face is constantly focused on these people. And I sense that very, very much in my ministry with the Lord, even here. Many, many a times I'll have just finished studying, all of a sudden a dean calls and says, what do you think? Is it time to come home? And I'll say yes.
And she'll call at all sorts of different times. She takes the car and leaves me sometimes to study while she goes and does business. But many, many times I'll have just finished a study just as she calls. Now, who could time that? The Lord. So these were men who were sitting before the Lord, the servants of the Lord. In other words, what God was going to do was to take the money that was being earned, the goods that were being collected by Tyre when she came back, and funnel that back to help in the temple. Now, this would be the post-exilic temple. This is the temple that was rebuilt after Ezra came back, and the people, Ezra, times of Ezra and Nehemiah, they came back. And Israel was financially just starting to get wound up. But she really didn't have a lot of money to keep things going. So what God did was arrange for King Cyrus, who was the Persian king, to edict that both Tyre and Sidon and other areas in Lebanon would come up with the money to support his temple. In fact, I have a passage to read in regards to that. Ezra chapter 3, verse 7 says, they gave money also unto the masons and the carpenters, and food and drink and oil, that would be olive oil, that's for cooking, unto them of Sidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now this grant was an edict from the Cyrus that decreed that these various city-states, these various regions were responsible to pay taxes, and those taxes, believe it or not, were to go to the Lord's temple. Can you imagine the United States raising taxes to give to churches? That would be fun, huh? But, dream on nowadays. It's just the opposite. If anything, they're threatening to take away tax-exempt status. But anyway, so Tyre's wealth would thus provide for their abundant food and fine clothes, what was at least partly fulfilled in Ezra 3:7 when King Cyrus made Sidon, Tyre, and others materially support God's temple in Jerusalem. So, for her pride over her wealth by means of her ruthless sea trade, God would judge Tyre and her trade partners. Later, when Tyre again rose to a trade role, God would cause her income to serve his ministries in the city of Jerusalem. Bunch of lessons here. If we rely on material gain for security, or if we are proud because of our material gain, we need to repent, lest God disciplines us. Pride that comes because of wealth, or when one's security is resting upon the wealth that he has instead of the Lord, it's actually a subtle form of idolatry. And of course, we know what God thinks of idolatry. This is why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, warn those who are rich in this world not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the one who gives us freely all things to enjoy, and to use their wealth for eternal goods, giving to meet specific needs and to minister to the Lord so that they can store up wealth in the life that is to come. Paul also warned Timothy, flee from the love of money. Now, he doesn't mean that you doesn't flee from money. He says, flee from the love of it. Don't make it your God. And it's interesting. Sometimes the Lord gives us a taste as to how much we love it. He lets the market go down, or he lets rough things come so that the checking count goes down a little bit and so forth. And it's a test to see whether we're really loving him, trusting him, or whether we're looking at the checking account of the market. What we need to do is to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Number two, if God materially blesses us, we must not hoard it as if it is a god, but use it for his interests. Ideally, a Christian should so use his money, if it's possible, so that when he leaves this life, he doesn't have any money left. He's used it for the Lord. It's tough to know that. I mean, we have to plan for retirement. God wants us to use our wisdom that way. But he doesn't want us to hoard money for the sake of hoarding. He wants us to use money for eternity. It's an amazing thing. We can actually take money that's not going to last forever, and God's going to destroy it in the tribulation period and so forth. But we can use it in this era for God's glory. We can use it to support missionaries who are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, Lord's work. Sometimes we can use it to help a really needy Christian family or someone who is in desperate need, who needs help. These are all things that we can do for the Lord, and that's what God's looking for. Also, dishonest or ruthlessly quick, easy gain is stealing in God's eyes. So we need to avoid such things. I've been looking for a passage for years on the problem of easy gain, and I got one here. Tyre in making wealth, earning wealth by marking up prices exorbitantly without doing an honest day's work, was doing that, which was an abominable thing. It's interesting, even the figure of speech got here, God wants people to work for their living, to earn it, really earn it the proper way, instead of just fudging or taking advantage of other people. Okay, God help us to do that.